Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Miles Apart by A.L. Brooks, narrated by Avery Reed. Chapter 1. Justine smiled widely as the woman, she'd forgotten her name already, draped over her from behind. The music was pumping, and her latest conquest was thrusting her hips against Justine's in time to the beat. Her body responded in all the right ways, and Justine glanced at her watch. Yeah, this was a good time to leave. Justine turned to face her. Anna, that was her name. Thank God. Anna, she said, bending to speak directly in her ear. Shall we get out of here? Anna beamed and nodded, her dark hair bouncing. Justine smiled and grabbed her hand. Anna lived only a 10 minutes drive away. Justine didn't let on that her place was closer. Tonight, she was happier going elsewhere for whatever was about to follow. Anna fumbled with her door keys when Justine snaked up behind her on the step and nuzzled her neck. Oh, Anna murmured when Justine's hand slipped under Anna's thick coat and squeezed her ass. Justine laughed and let go. Go on. Get that door unlocked. Anna did as she was told, and Justine followed her into the apartment. She barely gave it a glance. She wasn't here for a tour of Anna's home, just her bedroom. Justine grabbed Anna and pulled her roughly to her, kissing her fiercely. Her last assignation was a couple of weeks ago, and she was hungry for the release she knew was on its way. Anna moaned and held on tight as Justine plundered her mouth. Their hands scrabbled at each other's coats and scarves and pulled them away, dropping them on the floor at their feet. As Justine moved her mouth to the softness of Anna's neck, she let her hands roam. She pulled Anna's t-shirt out from her pants, and there it was, warm, soft skin. Just what she wanted. Oh, Anna whispered. I love your hands on me. Justine smiled against her neck and continued her explorations, running her hands up Anna's ribs to the underside of her bra. Anna pushed against her, her own hands digging into Justine's back. I knew you would feel like this, she said, offering yet more of her neck to Justine's lips. That connection we had on the dance floor was just too special to ignore. Justine hesitated ever so slightly. What was she talking about? Anna pulled back as Justine's lips stopped moving. You felt it too, didn't you? Yeah, sure, Justine said, nudging Anna with her hips. Bedroom? This way. Anna grinned, grabbing Justine's hand. She tugged her down the hallway and into a large bedroom. Turning to face Justine, she pulled her t-shirt off, then her bra. Justine's mouth watered. Beautiful, she murmured, taking her time to admire the full breasts, their nipples hardening as she gazed at them. All for you, baby, Anna murmured. Justine lunged forwards, briefly kissing Anna again as her hands cupped those bountiful breasts, then dipping her head so she could lick one of Anna's firm nipples. Anna ran her fingers through Justine's curly hair, tightening their grip against her scalp the more Justine's lips nibbled and sucked. You and I are going to be amazing. I can just feel it. Anna's words made their way through the desire-induced fog in Justine's brain, and she raised her head. Anna looked down at her. Don't stop, she said, pushing herself towards Justine's mouth. We've got so much to share, and it all starts here. Anna's words were like ice-cold water being thrown in her face. Justine stood and stared at Anna, who tilted her head, her eyes narrowing. What are you talking about? Justine took a small step backwards. Anna smiled. Us, she said, reaching for Justine and pouting when Justine pulled back. Come on, you'll feel it too. You know you do. Oh, holy shit. Justine took another step back. Her arousal had disappeared entirely. Now all she could think about was getting out of this as fast as possible. Look, I think we've got a problem here, she began, and flinched as Anna's face crumpled. She exhaled. Oh, crap. This was going to be difficult. I think you want more from this than I do, so I think I should just go. Anna stared at her, and her expression moved to one of hurt anger.
You mean you just wanted me for one night?
Scratching idly at the back of her neck, Justine tried not to laugh. She wasn't normally a callous person, but maybe that was the only way she'd get Anna to understand. Well, yeah, that's always all I'm after. She watched the words hit home and hated herself, more than a little, for causing pain to another person. She'd never had this kind of thing happen before. Normally, whomever she picked up wanted exactly the same thing. No strings, one night of fun, thanks, and goodbye in the morning. Anna started to cry. I'm going to go, Justine said, backing away.
Yes, I think you should.
Anna's tone was icy, and Justine didn't waste any more time. She left the bedroom, retrieved her coat from the floor, and yanked open the front door.
You bitch!
Anna screamed as Justine stepped back out into the cold air. She wanted to retort, to defend herself. No, actually, I'm a nice person who just read the signals wrong, much like you. But she knew there was no point. As she pulled the door closed behind her, she heard a loud thump against it. If she had to guess, she'd say Anna had just thrown a boot at it. She shook her head as she walked down the steps to street level. How had she got that one so wrong? She was normally so good at this. She huffed out a breath as she set off for the main road. She'd give herself 5 minutes to find a cab before calling Lyft. Montreal's winter was already creeping in, and she really didn't want to walk home if she could avoid it. What a disaster the night had turned out to be. This life, one-night stands and going home alone, was the only life she'd been able to stomach since Nadia had taken her world away 18 months ago. God, was it that long? Sometimes, like now, it seemed it was only yesterday. At least she got out and about these days, and 2 or 3 times a month found a warm body to enjoy. But lately, it had seemed empty, meaningless. Maybe her heart was finally starting to heal and make room for something that did have meaning. Justine's phone rang just as she stepped out of the shower. She knew who was calling, and she laughed as she strode across the bedroom to answer the call before it went to voicemail. Bonsoir, Christina. I know, I'm very late. Justine was notorious for running late to everything. It always surprised her, as she usually thought she'd timed everything right. But invariably, she was the last one into the room at meetings, always a few minutes late for appointments, and never on time to meet up with Christina and Sylvie. Christina snorted with laughter. Of course you are. But how close are you? Justine said, looking down at her still damp body and running her fingers through her wet hair. If I tell you about 20 minutes, will you believe me? Puh. We'll see you in 40 then. We're going to order some starters. We can't wait that long. Christina sounded grumpy, as she always did when kept from her food too long. She was one of those annoying women who was stick-thin but could eat like a horse. Go ahead, I'll be as fast as I can, promise. Justine chuckled as Christina snorted again, then abruptly ended the call. Toweling herself off, she pondered what to wear. It was cold out, the temperature having dropped further since the start of the week. They'd even forecast a light snow, so that meant layers, at least. As long as the base layer was something tight and sexy and... She stopped herself. Tonight was supposed to be just about seeing Christina and Sylvie. No extracurricular activities. She finished drying her hair, pushing her blonde curls around until they fell into the messy, just-out-of-bed look she liked to sport outside of work, and looked back at the closet again. Tonight, she was just meeting friends for food and wine. No picking up a woman and going home with her. She needed a break from that, needed to regroup, especially after what had happened on Monday. She shuddered. She smiled to herself. Christina would be delighted to hear that Justine might be on her road to reform. Christina was her closest friend and had watched Justine's descent into a series of lackluster one-night stands with open disdain. She would be very happy to hear that Justine felt a need to put a stop to that, even if only temporarily. So tonight called for jeans and a t-shirt. Nothing fancy. Having decided, she dressed, adding a warm sweater, a little jewelry, and pulling on her favorite soft brown leather boots. Grabbing her scarf and jacket, along with her wallet, she headed out of the apartment and strode down the street. She only had a 10-minute walk to the bar where she was meeting them. The one good thing that came out of Nadia ending their relationship was that it forced Justine into moving home. She'd listened to Christina's advice and put herself in the heart of the gay village, surrounding herself with a community where she could feel completely herself, not stuck out on the outskirts of the city in the executive home the status-hungry Nadia had insisted they live in when they got serious about their relationship. As Justine walked down Rue Sainte-Catherine, she shook her head, wondering, with hindsight, how she had managed to live in that soulless place for over 4 years. She'd hated it. She smiled ruefully to herself. The things you do for love. She trotted up the steps to Gabrielle's and pushed open the door. Spotting Christina and Sylvie straight away, she strolled over, laughing at Christina's glare as her friend tapped the watch on her wrist. Sorry, she said, leaning down to kiss each of them on both cheeks, then shedding her jacket and pulling out the third chair to sit down. She reached for the wine bottle and poured herself a glass, taking a long swallow before sitting back and smiling at them. Christina was dressed in her trademark all-black t-shirt and dressy pants. Her long dark hair was pulled back in a tight ponytail with a few strands hanging down either side of her face, framing her bright red glasses, her only nod to the color palette. Some might have called her look severe, but Justine always thought it exuded a sexy classiness. Sylvie, in contrast, was dressed in one of her multicolored short dresses, her chestnut-brown hair piled up in a loose bun with multiple wild strands falling in all directions around her head. She was a petite woman with an elfin face. She was a few years older than Justine, and Christina's 38, and most definitely wiser than the pair of them put together. Despite appearing to be so very different from their outward appearances, she and Christina worked brilliantly as a partnership and had been together for over 8 years. You look different, Christina said, tipping her head to one side and staring at Justine as if examining a painting in a gallery. Different how? Not physically. Something in your demeanor. Something intangible. You seem more relaxed somehow. Frighteningly perceptive was a phrase Justine had often used to describe Christina, and she wasn't letting Justine down now. Very good, she murmured, nodding. One of the reasons I was late was because I was having a little think about my lifestyle over the last couple of years. Oh, please tell me this is good news, Christina cried, grabbing Justine's arm dramatically, making Sylvie roll her eyes and Justine laugh. You will be happy, I think. Given what a disaster my last conquest was, I've decided to cool things off for a while. How long is a while? Sylvie asked, smirking, her eyes expressing her disbelief in Justine's commitment to her declaration. I can't put a number on it. And before you get all excited, I don't know if that means I want to start looking for something more meaningful, or if I just want a break.
I'm just going to see how I go and make sure my nights out are not only focused on getting laid. Well, it's a start, Christine drawled, and Justine smiled at her.
What brought this on?
Sylvie asked, reaching across the table to steal a piece of calamari from the plate in front of Christina, who growled jokingly at the thievery. Justine shrugged.
I guess I've not been happy for a while, but just couldn't break out of the routine of it. It's just too easy to do. You know that.
Christina and Sylvie would know there was no arrogance in her statement. It was just a simple truth. Justine was an attractive, sexy woman. Her blonde curls and pale blue eyes, coupled with her lithe body, ensured that women were drawn to her on an alarmingly regular basis. She had used this to her advantage for some time now, but she knew both her friends had known for all that time that it never really fulfilled her, no matter what she said. And while she laughed about each conquest afterwards, it was hollow laughter.
Well, Sylvie said, patting Justine's hand where it rested on the table. I am glad you are here with us tonight. So let's eat and catch up on everything else.
Justine smiled, grateful for Sylvie's tact in changing the direction of their conversation.
So, Christine said, leaning in close, did you hear about Lucille and that butch she picked up last week?
Justine laughed and relaxed into the evening as Christina launched into a gossip fest. They parted company a couple of hours and a couple of bottles of wine later. Justine didn't linger in her walk home in the cold November air, passing the short journey, thinking about the evening. She acknowledged it was the most relaxed she'd felt in a while. She also recalled she hadn't once scoped the room, and she couldn't remember the last time she'd spent a whole evening out without at least one eye on potential bedmates. Maybe there was hope for her yet.
Chapter 2.
The text from Terry made Alex's blood boil. Heat of a most unpleasant kind rippled through her skin, her heart rate accelerating along with it.
Sorry, deal taking longer than we thought. Won't make counseling. Don't wait up.
Before she could filter it, her anger had her swiping open the message and pressing the call back icon. She didn't actually know what she'd do if Terry answered or not, but she didn't have to wait long to find out.
Hey,
Terry said, her voice way cheerier than Alex wanted to hear. She wanted remorse and discomfort, and the lack of both in her partner's tone had her free hand clutching painfully at the edge of her desk.
Seriously, Terry, this is the third time you've canceled counseling. What am I supposed to do now?
She managed to keep the volume of her voice low, but her words were clipped and spat from between her lips.
Oh, come on, give me a break. You know what my job's like. You know how quickly things can change in a day.
Terry's voice had risen, and it sounded incredibly loud in Alex's ear, making her tremble as her anger transformed into agitation. Confrontation was not Alex's natural style, and she was suddenly struggling with the bad energy between them. Her usual need to smooth things over was overcoming her anger. Yes, she did know how fast-paced Terry's job was and how her days often careened off track. It was a big part of what had got them into this mess in the first place. Exhaling slowly and rolling her head to try to ease the sudden tightness in her neck and shoulders, she paused before speaking again.
You just don't make this any easier, you know.
There was silence. Then,
I could say the same to you.
The words hit Alex like a verbal slap. She inhaled sharply, but before she could retort, Terry jumped in.
I don't want to argue. Quite frankly, I don't have time.
Her tone held a finality that brooked no argument.
I'm sorry about the counseling. I'll get home as soon as I can, but like I said, don't wait up.
Fine. Alex hung up before she said something she'd really regret and carefully placed her phone back on her desk. Leaning back in her chair, she closed her eyes. So Terry was bailing on their counseling again.
Alex couldn't stop the acid churning in her stomach at how coldly Terry had written off their session. Her teeth ground as she bit back the string of expletives queuing up to escape her mouth. While anger was still her overriding emotion, she opened her eyes as she acknowledged the other strong feeling coursing through her. Relief. A few hours later, Alex slotted her key in the lock with an overwhelming sense of trepidation. Surprisingly, Terry was home already, and Alex had no idea what to expect when she walked into the flat. She had found the solo counseling session useful, but that didn't really surprise her. Gloria had helped Alex tap into some of her long-standing issues around relationships. It left her with more questions than answers, but it had purged a little of the anger that still resided deep within her over what Terry had done 3 months ago. Just not enough. There just didn't seem to be a way to remove that nausea, that twist of anger every time she thought about it. The sessions with Gloria had helped, but it seemed no amount of talking or sharing could quite bring her to be comfortable with where they were. Breathing in deeply, steeling her bruised heart, she shut the door behind her and locked it. She shrugged off her coat in the hallway and hung it up, heeling off her shoes in blissful relief as she dropped her bag on the floor. "I'm home," she called out. "In the kitchen," came the muffled response. Poking her head round the kitchen door, she watched as Terry deftly stirred something in a pan. Terry was in her dark blue track pants, a cotton hoodie over the top with the sleeves rolled up. Her short dark hair was ruffled. Her wire-rimmed glasses were perched on the end of her nose, something she did when cooking to keep them from steaming up too much. She looked adorable, but Alex almost couldn't allow herself to think it. She was still angry with Terry, and thinking nice things about her diminished that anger. Wanting her, desiring her, none of that was good right now. "You're home earlier than I thought you'd be," Alex said.
"Yep, didn't take as long as I thought in the end."
Terry looked up.
"Want some soup? I didn't eat earlier, and I'm starving."
Terry's casualness irked Alex, but she tried to play nice. "No, I'm good." Terry blinked a couple of times. Then,
"How was the session?"
Alex shrugged and worked hard at keeping her tone neutral.
"Okay."
She paused. "Get your work done?"
"Yeah."
Terry stopped stirring the soup and put the spoon down.
"Sorry about earlier," she said quietly.
She walked the few steps across the kitchen towards Alex and leaned in for a quick kiss, which Alex returned on autopilot. Alex was aware that she was working very hard not to respond to Terry's kisses, to pretend they didn't move her like they used to. Her mind resented them. Her body, more and more often lately, much to her mind's chagrin, ached for them. But she didn't trust the kisses, didn't trust that Terry truly wanted to kiss her. And she wasn't sure she would ever trust that again. Terry stepped back.
"Just so you know, I'm going in early tomorrow. We're having a celebratory breakfast for finally pulling it off."
"We?" Alex asked before she could stop herself. Terry started and frowned, but before she could speak, Alex held up a hand.
"Don't. Forget I asked. Sorry."
She'd promised not to open up old wounds as part of their path to reconciliation. It was just too hard not to sometimes. Terry nodded slowly and breathed deeply, the frown slowly easing itself out.
"So," Terry said eventually, "it looks like I'll be free this weekend. Want to do something?"
Alex took a deep breath. On the way home, she'd wondered when would be the best time to tell Terry her news, but now her hand had been forced. She could guess how well, or more likely not, it would be received.
"Sorry, but I can't. Richard ambushed me at the end of the day. I've got to go back to Montreal."
Terry's emotions played out across her face in stark clarity. Surprise, quickly turning to anger, followed by another attempt to get that anger under control.
When?
Terry asked, her voice laced with tension.
This Saturday, back next Friday.
Terry pursed her lips, then turned her back on Alex and walked back to the stove where she picked up the wooden spoon again and aggressively stirred the soup that now bore the brunt of her anger. Alex took a deep breath and walked over to Terry, slipping her arms round her waist from behind, pulling Terry's resistant body into her own. She rested her chin on Terry's shoulder, knowing her arms weren't fully relaxed around her partner, that she was holding a piece of herself back. Terry leaned into her.
I'm sorry. I know you don't like how much traveling I've done this year.
Alex's stomach churned. She was apologizing again, for being successful, for being good at what she did. It caused a tiny ball of molten heat to ignite in her gut. Terry shrugged in her arms.
We knew it would be a big part of your new job. I just have to get used to it.
Doesn't mean I like it, though.
I know.
Alex cringed at her automatic need to make things better for Terry, but she couldn't seem to stop herself. Years of always making everyone else feel better had ingrained this behavior into her bones, something she'd only just come to realize in her session with Gloria, and something she didn't know how to change. A little voice, far off in the back of her mind, said Terry was being unreasonable, given how many hours Terry put into her own job, the canceled counseling session being a prime example. But Alex wasn't ready to deal with that voice yet.
I'm hoping this will be the last transatlantic one this year, if that's any consolation.
I hope so, Terry said, then eased herself out of Alex's arms.
Okay, I'm ready to eat. So if you want to go get changed, we could meet in the living room.
Alex could see the effort Terry needed to make that sound as relaxed as it did. Gloria had managed to instill in both of them the need to make an effort at key moments. To take a minute to consider and breathe and allow for each other's feelings. Some days it worked, some it didn't. Terry was trying, and Alex had to be thankful for that, even if all it did was cause that emptiness to gnaw away at her again.
Okay.
Alex kissed her on the cheek and left the room to head to their bedroom. They sat together on the sofa, not close, watching a detective drama on TV. They each had a glass of wine, something else they were learning to moderate between them. Alcohol had played a significant part in the events that had brought them to this point, and they'd both agreed that Terry, in particular, needed to be aware of how much she now drank. As part of the deal they'd done in couples counseling, Alex never drank more than Terry when at home. Even when, sometimes, all she wanted was to sink into the oblivion that she knew 3 or 4 glasses would lend her. After 30 minutes of silently watching a program she couldn't focus on, she was relieved when her phone rang. Seeing Danielle's name come up in the caller ID, she hurried to answer.
I'll go into the bedroom so you can carry on watching, she said to Terry, and stood without waiting for a response.
Hey, you, she said into the phone as she left the room.
So, Danielle said without preamble, you are alive then. I have been texting you all day.
While Danielle's smoothly upper-class tone sounded pouty, Alex knew that her friend of over 20 years was only teasing. They went back too far and shared too much for Danielle to be that annoyed at Alex not returning a few text messages. Alex giggled and thrilled at the sound. She hadn't realized she had that left in her today. She walked across the hall to the bedroom and flopped herself on top of the bed. The duvet gave way beneath her with a puff of air.
I had a very long day, thank you, and found out I have to go back to Montreal this weekend.
Oh, dear, I can't imagine that went down too well at home. Or have you not told her yet?
This time Danielle's tone was acerbic, and Alex knew she meant every bit of that emotion. Danielle, despite thinking what Terry had done was unforgivable, had agreed to support Alex in staying with Terry when...
Sample complete. Ready to continue?